Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Red Men Radio. Chris and I are in Porto Airport recording this after Liverpool smashed Porto 5-0. It's great. I put a tweet out asking for some comments and stuff. We'll get to those a little bit later on. They're rolling in as we speak. We're doing this on the fly. I apologise if you can hear the random jazz musings happening away in the distance. It is what it is. Porto Airport is a weird place. It's a very weird place. And it's being filled with angry scousers at the moment because every flight out to Lisbon seems to be getting cancelled. We'll know more about ours shortly.
Luxembourg, because you know that sort of thing.
Sure, absolutely. Because obviously the final word shows out, the Into the Match Reaction podcast, or the Man of the Match podcast is out, all on the RedmenTV.com, but we're here. It would be remiss of us not to discuss that game from last night and what a game
nodding,
it was.
For anyone listening, I'm nodding away because I agree with him wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, Paul. I mean, you don't go away in Europe in the last 16 of the Champions League and win it 5-0. It just doesn't happen.
We were in the bar the night before, and we were looking with Juventus Spurs on, but the City score was dripping in, and part of you, they go into that game, you think City will smash them, and then part of you thinks, oh, but it's Basel, maybe they'll become City's new bogey team, like they've been ours for a number of years, and City just go and absolutely batter them, and no one bats an eyelid. Everyone goes, yeah, exactly. And I think Porto were a better team than Basel. They were unbeaten, though they are unbeaten domestically, top of the league. Everyone we spoke to around City who's a Porto fan was confident about that game.
Everyone said Porto would win, and it started to fill me with a little bit of fear, to be honest, because going into a Champions League game at home, I'm confident because of the stand and because of the fans and all that type of stuff, but you never really know what to expect out of the other sides. And I've seen Liverpool struggle at home ties along the years. People always remember the ones that count, but we've seen loads as well that have been in Champions League group stages where we've struggled in and stuff, so you're never quite sure what you can get. You know, when there's more on the line, the team step it up and the fans step it up, but going away from home, it's completely different. And you know, it came out the day before in the press conference, they thought that they would be able to nullify our attacking threats and stuff like that. Well, that blew up in the face, didn't it? And maybe there was an air of overconfidence, but what Liverpool did was put in a complete European performance and made the rest of Europe stand up and take notice. Now, you look at that, and from the side that was put out there, my major concern was Trent being in there for Joe Gomez. I really wanted the solidity of a Joe Gomez, and you know, he's only a little bit older, but he's a little bit more experienced and stuff. And I wondered how Trent would deal with Brahmi, you know, they're probably best player. And he absolutely dominated him, and he stood up on the world stage, because that's what this is. This is, you know, more impressive than his debut being in Premier League, full debut being at Old Trafford. This is on a complete other level. You've got the eyes of the world watching this, admittedly behind BT's sodden paywall.
Well, this is a kid who scored a free kick in Hoffenheim to help get us into the Champions League. You know,
it's totally
not ours. No, but the thing is, Chris, you're right, is that everyone, if you had to talk about Liverpool's two right back options, first you qualify them both, they're both young lads, but secondly you'd say, as you say, Gomez is the more solid. Trent's defo got the greater attacking talent, the greater attacking threat. Don't use him away from home in a tough Champions League game, because he's going to be on the back foot. We need to be solid defensively first. And I think in tandem with the midfield, I think we made that a greater possibility, and it made life a lot easier. Having Gini Wijnaldum, having Jordan Henderson, having James Milner in the midfield meant that there was always someone there to help out whenever
the team was perfect, wasn't it? And you know what I noticed more in this game than I've seen in the, let's say, the previous eight or something like that, doesn't really matter. I've seen the forwards tracking back much further and much deeper than we have done in previous games. You know, the amount of times that you think to yourself, how's Firmino there? How's Mane there? Salah's there, and Salah's not normally one of those guys who's back in like right back position helping Trent out and stuff like that. And I wonder whether they were spurred on by the occasion. You always wonder how a team's going to react in this like pressure, under this pressure and stuff, don't you? And every one of them seems to have an extra spring in the step, and they're all just bought into what Klopp's about.
That was exactly the expression I was going to use, is bought in. They are that whole game plan. And it's interesting because you see Dortmund players talk about this and Mainz players talk about this, that you have to have everyone in that team pulling in the same direction. Everyone runs themselves into the ground, because if someone decides they're not going to do that, it compromises the work of everyone else, and you don't want to be the lad who walks back into that changing room and everyone knows you're the guy who didn't pull his weight, because you won't last very long at the football club if you do that. And we're starting to root those out, and you know, we definitely need to find the greater consistency with it, for sure. But this performance last night, it goes on a list of an ever-growing list of those type of performances that we've done, and we're doing them in all kinds of situations now. It's not just the top boys, you know what I mean, of the Premier League. We're doing it in Europe, we're actually doing it against the lesser lights of the Premier League as well. It's not it's becoming the norm, and that norm shouldn't be surprising. That's how Jurgen Klopp's sides play.
Yeah, and it's incredible what this side's capable of this season, because as I say, everyone in Europe turned around and looked at Liverpool and gone, wow. Because Porto are such a well-respected team in European football. Like, you know, they've had, I think it's 66 more European games than Liverpool since the Champions League was made as a competition. They've won the league the last 4 years. They're focused on the Champions League every single year once they've got Benfica out the way in the league and stuff. And they're built for that, and their fans were built for that. And their fans were incredible last night.
Yeah.
Speaking to a couple of Liverpool fans earlier on in the airport, I was sat with them, who just were like, they support their team and they were incredible. 10 minutes after the game had ended, there was flares going off in their version of the cop, and they were saluting the side, and the side were all in the penalty area doing this massive like hug slash prayer for the second leg. And you're thinking to yourself, that is incredible. And that fan base isn't used to getting beaten either.
Yeah.
You know, you said it yourself earlier on, they haven't been beaten at home this season, and we've just gone in there and fucking wiped our cock all over the faceball.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's absolutely true. I love that. I was 10 minutes, the first 10 minutes of the game, as you say, I was like, not like nervous isn't quite the word. I was a bit in awe of it. Just the noise they were generating, I was like, friggin' hell, they're doing this in a game. They're not requiring their side to be amazing. It didn't take one flashed across the bow, you know what I mean? Or it didn't take a shot, a save or a goal to get their fans up. That's how they support their team. I was absolutely in awe of that. And you know, they went 1-0 down, kept going, 2-0 down, kept going. When it got to 3, it kind of eased off for a few minutes, and then they went, no, right, son. And then they picked it up and went again. I was absolutely blown away by the level of their support. And I think there's something I hope we can learn from this. I don't quite know what the answer is for Anfield. You know, because I still think that when Anfield bounces, it's as noisy as anywhere in world football. Hopefully, if we can just get back to performing like that on a consistent level, it might drag the atmosphere up along with it. Because if we play scintillating football, then it should hopefully be more happiness in the stands. But
I don't know. I'd get to the point where I'm shell shocked, Paul. Yeah. I can't sing anymore. Well, that's kind of where we were at last night.
Yeah, again, the 3 or 4. The celebrations became a bit more subdued as they went along to some extent, because
dumbfounded.
Yeah, dumbfounded. Yeah, absolutely.
I just stood there. And I've watched the video you did back there, the match day vlog, and I don't know what goal it was, maybe the fourth or the fifth. I'm stood there with my hands on my head.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I've completely lost where I am, and you know, I'm not joined with this reality anymore. I was just away with the fairies. Like, I can't believe I'm sitting here soaking this up.
It was like an out-of-body experience, the end of it. Because we walked out and it was pissing down with rain, and I've been for 2 days and still is now. You get kept in at the stadium. We filmed all the videos inside the ground, and then we went out and I kind of trudged, and you get in the queue to get into the subway, and it was just
what?
Yeah, it was just weird. It was dead quiet, and people were like singing songs in a really low tone.
Emotionally drained, I think everybody was.
And it was just like, I don't think anybody in their wildest dreams had, had 5-0. No one's got 5-0 there. You know, I joked about, I think I said, I don't know if it was in the build-up, about like, you know, I'd love us to do a Maribor. We're not going to do a Maribor. We didn't do a Maribor, but we beat a team that are significantly better than Maribor, and we beat them by 2 less goals than we beat Maribor, which is frankly ridiculous. And you know, I've said this on a few places. I think you went 2-0. I think I might have gone 1-0, and I'd have taken. We said, look, standard European away performances. You take a 1-0 or you take a 1-0.
Anything Spurs with an away, anything with an away goal.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And even like a 2-1 worst case scenario, you know what I mean? Yeah. But a good result would have been a draw or a win, and we just blew that apart. And
you kind of skipped over it a little bit before, but we've spoken about it previously, is that Porto came out and they started that game and they looked really, really good, like they were used to having the ball at home, and they understood what the crowd can do for them, and they fed off the energy of the crowd and they were hoping to quiet and us and stuff like that. Hi mate, you're right.
Hello mate, you okay? Say hello to the podcast listeners.
Yeah. Say hello to everyone.
I'm on my first away trip.
Oh mate, what a game.
Amazing.
What a game to start.
Sam,
nice to meet you, Sam.
Yeah, watch every show, it's pretty good.
Thanks, mate. Absolutely brilliant.
Nice one, mate.
Cheers, Sam. Right, Sam, where are we?
If you listen to this back in the future, Sam.
Yeah, of course, mate.
This is. Hello, everyone listening. We just want to take a selfie with Sam. I'm going to sit down for this one.
Chris, get you up there.
Fantastic.
I'll tag you in on Twitter.
Cheers, man. They look like a team who are used to taking the ball, and they fed off the energies of their fans and stuff, and I wondered how Liverpool were going to deal with that, because it felt like first 5 minutes Brahmi wasn't going past Trent Alexander-Arnold, but he was asking questions of him.
He looked dangerous, didn't he? But he looked dangerous the whole until he got subbed off. You can tell what a talent he is, but at no point did you really feel it. You know, there were a couple of moments, didn't they? They had the shot that Dejan Lovren put an amazing tackle into to deflect the one over the bar, and that was dangerous. But it was like we got into like 10, 15 minutes of the game and it was like, we're fine here. We're absolutely fine. And you were saying, all of a sudden we just had possession and we were knocking it around and we were like, we'll have it at the back here. This is fine. This is not like at Anfield when you don't want your defence to have it. Your opposition wants your defence to have it. And you don't, you want your forwards to have it because you need to score, you need to break them down. We were like, no, we'll keep this. We'll keep it and we'll knock it around. Jordan Henderson, Chris, basically, there was times when he was playing left back and he dropped into between the two centre-halves. He just came deep and picked it up and he was like, great, and I'll stroll forward and I'll move it on and I'll ask for it back and I'll move it on again and I'll ask for it back. Metronomic.
It's one of the things that goes completely unnoticed when you're talking about centre midfielders. Actually, the best centre midfielders in the world, And you know, for me over the last 10, 15 years, the likes of Paul Scholes, the likes of Steven Gerrard, the likes of Xavi and Iniesta, it's not just about what you do with the ball, it's about putting yourself in a position to receive the ball. And Jordan Henderson did that really well last night. You know,
he won't draw the plaudits the same way that Milner will draw the plaudits, the way that Wijnaldum will draw the plaudits.
Exactly. That was a captain's performance regardless. Yeah. He's just taken his team into a side that are top of their league in the last 16 in the Champions League and led them to a 5-0 victory.
Yeah, and we got to rest them as well.
Yeah. And we kept the other captain on the pitch in Virgil van Dijk, who was telling Jordan Henderson what to do at times. Yeah. That's the level of respect that he commands in this side. What a difference he's making. And some of the balls that he was playing, you're thinking to yourself, that's range of passes like Steven Gerrard.
He, like £75 million for a centre-half will never make sense. It will never make sense in the purest of sense. But I can now understand why we ran the gamble of not buying a centre-half. We waited half a season to get him in, because I've seen so many centre-halves. Let's use Joe Matip as an example for this, Chris. Yeah. Joe Matip is a pretty good defender. He's a good ball-playing defender. He's fine, isn't he?
He's fine.
And Dejan Lovren is fine. He had an outstanding game last night, but you know, they're fine. They're lads who on the day are really good, but they get beaten sometimes by certain types of defender. They have certain types of problems, they have certain types of weaknesses. And Virgil van Dijk will have those moments, but as you say, he's
got a range of passing. Every time they try to put us on the back foot by getting the ball up the pitch, the ball now goes in the general vicinity of Virgil van Dijk, particularly in the air.
And it goes to Jordan Henderson.
And it, yeah, and he wins it. And I don't. I'm now starting to get more and more comfortable with it. I just go, okay, this is fine.
I've never seen a centre back who plays it in the same way. You know, I've seen centre backs for every team in the league, but I don't pay attention to them like the your players do. Yeah, Virgil van Dijk goes up for a 50-50 duel with someone and doesn't just twat the ball as far as he can out, which is what they do in the warm-ups.
Yeah.
He heads the ball to a midfielder, and I've never seen that happen. I can look at like. I think he won every single one of his duels last night, didn't he? I think I saw a stat on Twitter, something like that. But they're all passes.
Yeah.
It's not like you're not...
He's not booming things out of play.
No, he doesn't need to. He's so big and he's so good that he can just knock the ball to a midfielder. And he fumes on himself if his passes aren't great. I saw him hit a ball that was about 2 yards away from Robertson. Robertson got the ball and he wasn't under pressure. And Van Dijk turned around and screamed in the air because he was fuming with a misplaced pass of 2 feet.
Yeah.
I'd have been celebrating I got it near him.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And that's the levels that he sets for himself, and he sets them for his teammates as well, Paul.
Yeah, just on the defence, then I mentioned it just there. I said it in the build-up, and it was vindicated, I think, in this game. Dejan Lovren over Joel Matip. And that block tackle that he puts in the first couple of minutes is exactly the difference between those two players, and exactly the reason why he was the perfect choice to play into this game, because there was going to come a spell when we needed a bit of it was going to be a bit frantic, and you need a lad who's going to put his body on the line. And Dejan Lovren, when he is tasked with being a defender, said it time and time again, they are the perfect games for Dejan Lovren, because he comes off looking amazing, so that when he has those extra little moments on top, moments of flair, where he did it in the second half, where he just steps up and gets in front of a man and wins the ball, that's going above and beyond the Call of Duty. He looks fantastic with doing it. Absolutely amongst Dejan Lovren's best performances last night.
Easily, and you're right, that block tackle, the ball ends up going over the bar, doesn't it, off it, like, and that could change the complexion of the entire game, and he was brilliant. Van Dijk's making everyone better in that defence, and credit's got to go to Jürgen Klopp for this, because he's changed the midfield up, he's changed the defence up, and everything that he did worked perfectly. You know, the midfield was perfect for the fullbacks that we had in the centre halves. The centre halves were perfect for the strikers that we were coming up against. In that, they played a 4-4-2.
Yeah.
They were trying to occupy both centre halves, and both centre halves won the one-on-one battles. And that's what made the difference there. You know, they weren't able to link the midfield, and they weren't able. And when they did, we'd break and we'd counter and we'd be so dynamic, and we get the ball to our front three as fast as possible.
Yeah.
That they weren't in a position. They weren't able to set up and counter us. And the key to the game was, I think we'd won that game before we kicked the ball. I really do. I think the team selection was so good that Porto had no idea what was coming, and the fans had no idea what was coming. And to be honest, we never had no idea what was coming, Paul.
Yeah.
You know, none of us thought we'd go in, we'd walk into the Dragon Stadium and do that to them like that.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, amazing. To a man, everyone was faultless yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
Faultless, Paul.
Genuinely, again, it's what I love about it is that we've not even talked about the brilliance of Mo Salah, the brilliance of Sadio Mane, the brilliance of Roberto Firmino. Yeah, and we will in due course, listeners, do not worry. But it's the unfashionable ones who are starting to really look like, just look solid. That's all I'm looking for at the moment. If they go above and beyond that, amazing. Lloris Karius, another solid performance in goal for us. We mentioned it already, Trent Alexander-Arnold. James Milner, who I get that he's not Iniesta. I get that he's not this dead fashionable name. He's not the super cool, like everyone's got James Milner on the back of the shirt. He isn't that, he's never going to be that. But he was our most experienced European player on the pitch there last night. He showed it. He covered every. There was a point where we were playing like a double pivot with Gini and Hendo in front of the back four, and Milner was basically playing a free pressing role along behind the front three, and then he was doing that in a defensive protecting role in front of the back four as well. The amount of times he won the ball back, the amount of time he started counter attacks. He's the top assister in the Champions League now this season. I think me and Tom might have had this conversation the other day. James Milner is the perfect squad member for us, and he highlights to me just how good our squad is, because you can drop him into games like that and he can put performances like in that, and he'll then go off the team for a week or 2 weeks and he comes back and he'll perform like that again. Amazing.
Mate, I'd Sadio Mane not pick
up. Did you give
him
a 10 out of 10, by the way?
Yeah, I agree. I give him a 10 out of 10. I think I give Robertson a 10 out of 10. I think I give Firmino and Salah 10 out of 10. I give Sadio Mane 15 out of 10. I think they're thereabouts, but it's mad because James Milner's unheralded, and yet, you're right, he's the perfect squad member, but he commands so much respect in that team. You know, he's gnarly when he needs to be gnarly. He fouls tactically when he needs to foul tactically. He passes the ball short when he needs to. He spreads the ball long. He moves the ball quickly when he needs to. He moves it slowly when he needs to. He understands every facet of this game that we call football, and he understands it perfectly. And he understands what his team need of him. And that's the most important thing in any Klopp system.
Yeah.
He understands every role in the team.
Yeah.
And he understands if they're lacking in it, where he needs to be to support them. Oh, man, it's, again, faultless. And Lovren was exactly the same. He cleared it when he needed to clear it. Played it short when he needed to play it short. And then the midfield and the defence were the foundations for what happened with the front three.
Yeah, let's talk about Sadio Mane. Now, Jürgen Klopp said in this post-match press conference that after Southampton, he said, like, you're back. And I didn't think that after Southampton, but I wondered psychologically whether someone just needed to tell Sadio Mane that he was back for him to believe it.
Do it earlier.
Well, yeah, no, I know, but that's it. But that's, you know, maybe, you know, because he played... You know, that was the first game I think he's played this season, and it's probably not true because I'm forgetting a lot of the early games. Like he felt he was the best player in our team, even though he's not. And that's the amount of times that he tried to pass the ball to Salah in and around the 18 yard box when it wasn't even really the right pass. It said. He's like, I'm going to try and win this game for us, and if I can't, I'm going to kick it to the second best lad who can win it. And a couple of times it didn't go. Like, there's one early on where he could, just before the goal, in fact, the Salah goal, I think it is, when he tries to play, he plays the ball to Salah in the middle when Wijnaldum's free at the back post. But I just, again, that Mane performance was everything we're looking for from him. He was dynamic, he pressed, he harried. And he cropped up where in all the situations that he's meant to crop up. That's the type of goals he was scoring last season. It's the type of goals Mo Salah's been scoring a lot this season as well. That one where he arrives, he's just there at the back post just to tap it in off the rebound. Textbook.
I mean, it's classic counter-attacking football again, but you've got to be there. You can't just give up on plays. And I think sometimes it's easy for footballers to do that when you've got Roberto Firmino bearing down one-on-one with the goalkeeper. Why should you continue?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah. You trust in your teammate, but because you're part of a team and you need to be there in case anything happens.
This
is true also. But hey, okay. that is a good point as well. But Sadio Mane, for me, did his best work without touching the football.
Yeah.
And he did this last season, and it sounds stupid, but you know when he's got the ball at his feet and he body faints people?
Yeah.
he doesn't need to move the ball. He moves the man without touching the ball, and he uses their movements. It's like a game of fucking chess ball. He'll move one way and they'll faint and he'll see if they bite and then he'll just go the other way, or he'll faint again and then he's off the other way. And
that sounds very un-chess-like.
But it's all about counter-attacking, isn't it? It's all about seeing what they're going to do before they do it, and that's what Sadio Mane can do when he's full of confidence. When he's been lacking a little bit of confidence, he just cuts inside, and they know what he's going to do. He's beating them before he's touching the football, and then he's going and making something happen off the back
exactly.
of it.
He knows that exactly that. He doesn't need to get past the man. If it's on, he'll go past them. If it's not, then his job is to open just enough space to stick the ball into someone else's feet, and then move again. And again, it helped with how much Gini Wijnaldum was supporting the attack when needs be, how much Milner supported the attack when needs be. I mean, that again, the first goal is made by the endeavour of Gini Wijnaldum. Like I've devastated, I'd have loved for him to have towed that in the top bin. But as it is, he pretty much smashes it off the defender's face and it drops to Mane. Keeper gives him a massive slice of luck. But it's weird how it works sometimes, isn't it? Because we've had a few of these games lately where, I think it was the Huddersfield one. In fact, it was Huddersfield, a recent example of this, where we started confident. They've had a big chance early on, and then we've gone and took a bit of luck and gone and got the game.
We need to finish these now, and we've gone
underway, and everyone's settled. And Mane was the perfect example of that last night. Is that first goal is dead lucky, but he just again. I felt like it was important for him to feel like he was being a decisive member of this team, because he must be he's not immune to it, he can't be. He's looking at Roberto Firmino, everyone's talking about Salah, everyone's talking about Firmino, and all of a sudden he's like the third wheel, whereas last season he was everyone's favourite player. And you know, we've said it for a few weeks, he just needs that goal. Well, that weirdly enough, we said in the absence of those scruffy goals, he's just been scoring boss goals. He needed that scruffy goal, and that leads him on to, again, those first two goals are just pure one luck and pure positional sense, and the third one is genuinely world class. You talked about it when we were walking home, just like he just slows down, he picks his spot, and he doesn't slot it. He absolutely buries it. You know, think about trying to walk up to something and smack that in a straight line. It's something you always say when we were kids, kicking the ball straight is a very, very difficult thing to do. That goal is so good, and that whole performance, I mean, he thoroughly deserved it. I think he's now on 12 goals for the season, and all of a sudden, what happens when Sadio Mane kicks on? We've got three forwards now who are in the form of their lives.
Yeah. We score more than five goals in games again. I think that's the only way. I mean, you can't. I didn't know whether the team could support three players in that good form. You know what I mean? We're beating teams with two of three, and the three of them are all playing.
I was thinking about Barcelona last night, and how at its peak the Neymar, Suarez, Messi three, and how they did, you know, they did.
I was smiling at the fact that you put it in the wrong order.
What do you mean?
It's Messi, Suarez, Neymar. It was the MSM, wasn't it?
Oh, just in left from left to right.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. It was, you know, and they could sustain three guys, and when they click and they're on sync, they all know that I'll give this guy this goal because he's going to give me the next, or I'll get it back in due course. And it does feel like the only thing that was stopping us from having that was a psychological thing on Mane's part.
He's just been missing loads of chances, Paul. He's had so many opportunities to score goals. I think even in the last game at Southampton, I think he had six shots compared to like Salah's three or something like that. And he's had those opportunities, he's just not been sticking them away. And sometimes it's rubber the green, sometimes it's poor form, sometimes it's just down to your mental strength and your confidence and stuff like that. Now, he's blown all of that out the water now. He's on fire. I mean, he can't be full of any more confidence than he is. You know, he's a very understated guy. I think he's a very humble guy. I think you can see that, but I think you can also see that he's very, very competitive.
Yeah.
And he wants to be the star in this team again. And the only way he can be the star in this team
is by scoring more goals than Mo Salah, and that's going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah.
But it can be done on a game-by-game basis.
No, absolutely.
He's just not going to catch him.
No, absolutely. And, you know, 30 goals now for Mo Salah. Second fastest in Liverpool history to 30 goals. Joins a very elite list of players to have done it. I think Suarez got 31, is that right?
Suarez in 13-14. But I think, if I remember correctly, his minutes per goal, Suarez is still better.
I mean, he missed the start of the season for suspension and we didn't have European
footy. Suarez did 31 in 34 games. It's something like 30 and 38 or 39 games for... doesn't really matter.
Nope.
He's going to score more goals than Suarez in 13,
this
14.
This is what I'm driving at, is that he... No sense in, no, I don't want to jinx it, but you know what? We're going to do a lot of like blue sky thinking for the rest of this podcast. Mo Salah could end up on 40 goals. Yeah, he could end up on 40 goals this season.
Yeah.
Right, we're just gonna, if anyone's wondering why the noise changes a little bit, we're gonna have a little wander just to make sure that our flight isn't leaving without us. But we will continue the conversation. Because I can't put it into words. I've said it time and time again. I keep thinking the bubble's gonna burst. The bubble doesn't burst. He keeps getting better and better and better and better.
Yeah, Mo Salah. I can't believe him, mate. I put a tweet out a while ago and it did quite well on Twitter and stuff. Lots of likes and retweets, if that's your thing. And I was like, I wanted Liverpool to sign a 30-goal season striker, and we did. And I didn't even know. Yeah. Like I didn't have a clue. And maybe Klopp didn't either, to be fair. But he still should score more, and that's the absolute crazy thing about it.
Absolutely.
Oh, here we go. Lisbon 2 o'clock, gate 14 right now. Okay, sounds
beautiful.
That's 10 to 13 over there.
Hope you're enjoying our freestyle podcast, ladies and gents.
14 to 20 back that way, mate. No, put this out.
What we'll do is we've got some tweets and some random questions and stuff that people have sent in. We're going to go and...
We'll cut that from when we started walking.
We're going to go and find another little shady space to sit. We'll answer some of your questions in a second. Right, OK, since we last spoke to you, dear listeners, we found out that our flight has been irreparably delayed. We've got no idea what the future holds for us.
I'm fair night in Amsterdam.
Short-term future is we're going to take some of your questions, thoughts, comments from at the Redmen TV on Twitter, as ever. If you're not following it, make sure that you do. Let's get stuck in then, and let's start with... actually, there's some belters here. We've had two people ask us a very similar question. Altham, @_Altham, and Andy, who's @LFC_Heartbeat, both asked, relatively speaking, how hungover are you guys right now?
Not hungover, nothing like the day before.
Yes.
You know, game day, yeah. I was in a bad way. Like, I have this weird thing where if I get drunk, I wake up dead early. You know this, Paul, but listeners might not know this. 5:30 in the morning, after 15, 16 hours drinking.
Yeah.
I woke up at 5:30 after about, to be fair, it was about 6 hours sleep, maybe seven. It was good. It's more
sleep
than I have on a normal night, to be fair.
Yes,
it's just that, you know, I don't normally have 15 pints or whatever it is on a normal day. That's a time to leave for the weekend.
Yeah. Just if anyone's not seen it yet, we've put the match day vlogs out on the YouTube channel, and it'll be on the website as well. You can see how merry we were at the end of that first night, which should go some way to explaining that kind of condition. The point is, there's some stuff. In fact, if you watch the Instagram story as well, there's some bits from inside the Mackies that didn't make it into the vlog that you don't remember.
Yeah.
You woke up the next morning and you went, "We went to Mackies." I was like, "Yes, we went to Mackies."
Yeah, and that's it. So I learned a long time ago to remember the games. You know. We used to do it a few years ago when we'd be drinking in the Dovey. I won't remember the game. And you go over there to experience something like a European away leg. I want to remember that myself.
Yeah.
And the Redmen helps in that, to be honest, because I would absolutely go over there if we weren't filming stuff and be obliterated because I have no off switch.
Yeah.
So to be able to have to like do the intense,
think I'll do a match reaction.
Well, and also it being a European away and the fact they didn't sell ale in the ground made a big contributing factor, because you say all this, but if they had sold alcohol at the ground, all bets would have been off.
I've got no offer to tell you that. I'm not denying that. You're just proving a point.
Yeah. Cool. So, yeah, not feeling too bad today, but thanks very much for asking. Connor Fay, Connor CF. Genuinely, do you think we can actually go the whole way in the Champions League?
We can dream, Paul.
Exactly. So the short answer is, we are in the competition. We know we can beat really good sides. So Liverpool I think we were like 7-1 ahead of this game to win it. That's decent. That's decent. You know what I mean? For who we are and where we are. Yeah, I know. Absolutely. We'd probably be down to 4 or 5, I reckon, at this point. But we said this for a while, provided that we are in this competition, once you get to the knockouts, you can go and win it. It's just, you're so far removed when you're in the group stages. So while I don't think Liverpool are going to win it, you know, I'm not getting a 6-star tattooed, I'd have to get in the first 5. Hello. So yeah, that is a terrific language they've got here. Terrific language. Great. Not our flight. Don't care. Liverpool are just in it, and they've got to beat what's in front of them. If you're going to win the Champions League, you've got to beat some amazing sides along the way. You've got to put in some good performances. There's a long way to go, but there's no reason why we can't have a great run in this competition, because we've seen how good this side can be.
That's it. And listen, we said earlier on in the podcast, Europe will stand up and take notice of this Liverpool side. Nobody's going to want to be drawing us, because everybody knows that on our day we can beat anyone. You said it to me on the way home, or maybe it was this morning, we've beaten the best team in Europe this season already. Everybody will be scared about Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah, absolutely. Nate B Lightning. If Liverpool were to open a Hall of Fame, who would be the first class to go in? Maximum of 5.
Kenny.
Yeah.
Posthumously Paisley.
Yeah.
And Shanks.
Yeah.
I'd put Fagan in there as well.
Sure.
And
Stevie. Rafa.
No, I would put Gerrard in.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I can absolutely get behind that. There'll be loads of shouts for your Billy Littles and all that, but I can't comment because it's far before my time. I'd sacrifice Fagan for Rushy.
Good show.
But other than that, yeah, absolutely spot on. Let us know yours if you want to tweet in your LFC Hall of Fame to @TheRedBenTV on Twitter. Yeah, really good question. Great, so we move on then. Enchanting Duck. Wow. If you two performed a pairs figure skating routine, what song would it be to?
Dr. Dre and Eminem, probably.
What's the song that Torval and Dean used to do it to?
I don't know. Paul.
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
You're a sports aficionado.
I know, but I've also got a crap memory.
Yeah, that. I go with that. It's classic, isn't it? Yeah.
I think it would be a little bit tongue in cheek.
The Bolero, or is that attack? That's it, maybe. That's it.
I don't know. I think it might be something like "I Would Walk 500 Miles" or whatever that song's actually called.
I think we would go. Yeah,
it's a bit tongue in cheek. You're not walking.
True enough. And there'd be a lot of stomping in the routine. I think I would go full on. I would go like Mickey Mouse Fantasia, sort of just something so overtly over the top that we think would be massively out of character for us, and therefore would not be out of character.
Taylor
for
Swift.
Us. No. I mean like full on classical, like. Really,
could we do one of my favourite pieces of music ever, which is Moonlight Sonata? Should we do that?
Yeah, how's that go?
Have you got Spotify?
Yeah, but we can't use it while we're doing
it. No, then we can't. Then,
go on,
then
just
people
it.
Will just
no, come in.
No, no,
give us a clue.
No,
what's it in? What's it from?
I think it's in E.
Okay.
End of questioning.
Lee Carter Live. What horror movie traumatised you at any age?
I can't believe I'm going to say this. Gremlins.
Traumatised you?
God, why I go to bed sleeping in socks.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know, somewhere along the way, I had it in my head that the Gremlins couldn't get me feet if they were in socks, yeah, and I still go to bed in socks.
Solid foot protectors,
I do kick the socks off when I go to Nash Man at the end of the day. Yeah, but that's why I started going to bed in socks.
Amazing. It's not a horror film per se, but RoboCop. Like my dad made an edited version of it for me as a kid, well before. Like, and he cut out all the gore, but not enough. It's still a terrifying film. And then I watched it uncut for the first time when I was like 22 and 23. And that opening scene when he gets shot to bits is horrendous. Still the most horrendous thing ever filmed. Yeah, horrible, horrible. At @BrianB_LFC. Should we rest Salah and Firmino for the return match? Maybe start Ox and Lallana?
Yeah, I don't know what the game before it is. Obviously, the game afterwards has been Manchester United, isn't it? And so, therefore, it kind of makes sense. You've got to, whatever you do, you've got to keep it into that rhythm. You know, that the side, we've seen a certain rhythm to the rotation over the last few months or so. Keep it in that, but I would absolutely be trying to get some game time for other players.
I would. I think that would be the perfect opportunity. Whoever's played the most minutes between now and then, whoever needs it the most, there's no reason why you can't put Roberto Firmino on the bench and bring him on with half an hour to go just to keep him fresh and keep him in it, but give Danny Ings 60 minutes. What a boost that is for someone like him to turn around and go, go on, mate.
Champions League. And listen, I think Danny Ings is probably the right call there. But isn't it funny how we don't think of throwing Salah or Mane up there?
Yeah.
When for about a third of the game, maybe more, they're in rotation in that number 9 spot anyway, so you could just as easily throw somebody else onto a wing and rest Firmino, isn't it?
We never seem
to think about that.
Yeah, I think we rest one just for the total rest of it, as opposed to that, because this is that game coming up is basically the only free hit we've got left for the rest of the season. You know, you don't want it to be a more difficult game than it needs to be. Because that defeats the object. Because he would probably make three changes. So I think Lallana and Oxlade-Chamberlain and one of Ings and Solanke will start that game. But everyone else is going to be from the first team, and there's no point burning everyone else out if too many other lads make it too hard going. But yeah, you know, you've got a chance there to say, okay, well, you know, the Man United game's looming. You're fit and fresh. You can't take your foot off the gas in the Premier League now, between now and the end of the season. So that, I think he will rest, but not like a. I don't think we'll see a B team the way that some people might think. Mike.
Ultimately, our squad's made up of first teamers.
Yeah, true. Cool_dude 789. How do we get a permit to build a pyramid? Asking for a mate. Yeah, boss. Right. Owen Chanting Duck is back. He's obviously full into the whole Winter Olympic thing. Which Winter Olympic sport do you think you'd be best at?
The luge.
Why?
I feel like my fat would shift from one direction to another to enable me to go around the corners at will and speed.
And also,
I'm heavy, so going downhill quickly is a thing that I can do.
It'd have to be something low impact. And immediately I was thinking curling, but you have to bend down a lot. There's a lot of knee bending in curling that I'm not talking about.
I'm not sure that curling's a good thing for someone to...
for a man, did you just say?
Well, I was going to, No. For a man who doesn't want to do the chores to be
right.
doing.
So,
if they know you can brush like that, then you're brushing at home for eternity. You've got no excuse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
okay.
How often do you brush? Every week, the kitchen floor.
Okay, cool.
Because I'm a real man. I hope mine misses out. What about you?
Oh, yeah, what? In the bedroom, mate. That's when I do my helping out.
You brush what? In the bedroom? You brush her in the bedroom?
No, I do my helping out in the bedroom.
Oh, right, she needs a help, does she, when you're with her?
Oh, yeah. Why do you let her do it yourself, do it herself?
No, she doesn't need any help when I'm with her.
Wait, what?
It's just Chris.
Just sits next to you and
abuses
Chris
Bajak, you know what I mean? She doesn't need help.
Just rolls over. I'm done, cat. Okay, I'll throw myself off, I guess. I don't know that many Winter Olympic sports, but I'll go with curling because I'm quite good at crown green bowls, and it's basically the same thing.
yeah, interesting. Thank you very much to everyone who sent the comments in. It's been a great way for us to pass time. I've got no idea when or if we'll be back again. It promises to be exciting. I hope you've enjoyed this few days. If you haven't checked out the rest of the content, go on at the moment. The lads back home, well, I said the lads and girls, in fact, as Emma's been helping us out big time there. We've got the Final Word Show, the Man of the Match podcast as well, the Instant Match Reaction podcast. So if you haven't had your fill yet of Liverpool Porto talk, go to the redmentv.com. All those podcasts are there for you. Just soak them in. Soak them in. Bathe. Get in a bath, a warm bath, put your feet up, get yourself a nice relaxing drink, and then just listen to hours upon hours of amazing Liverpool fans talking about an amazing Liverpool side and an amazing Liverpool performance. Nice one, Chris. I don't know what's going to happen to us. We'll be all right. We'll be all right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Walk on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.